Oh, is anybody there yet?
Hi, this is John Laster. I'm here.
Hi, John. It's you. How are you?
How are you?
John, are you there?
I was on a speakerphone. Is that better?
Oh, yeah, but you know what? I can turn my volume up, too, if you prefer to be on a speaker. I'm sure that'll work out just fine. I'm here with Katie McGee and Ashley Taylor, two doctoral students.
Hi, Katie and Ashley.
Hi. Hello.
And Katie Woods, who's done some work with you, is supposed to call in today from Omaha. So hopefully she'll be able to do that.
Great.
And Kathy
Hello?
Lines should be joining us.
Oh, good.
And Aviva should be joining us.
And I wanted to let you know I had an opportunity to meet face-to-face with Amanda in New Orleans for APA.
Great.
And we could talk a little bit about that later.
Great. She has, she's in California, right?
No, Puerto Rico.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she recently went back.
That's possible.
Oh, well, but that's, yeah, she is working with one of the groups, Amanda Clinton. Yeah, she was at California State.
Hello there.
Katie?
Yes, it's Katie Woods.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. Hi, Katie. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
Oh, good, thanks.
Good.
I just put a caramel in my mouth. That was really bad timing. I'm sitting here needing to say something. I can't talk. Sorry about that, everybody. It'll be okay. Well, as far as I know, Kathy and Aviva were going to join us. Margaret Beebe Frankenberger couldn't make it at this time, but I really wanted to keep us moving along.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see if Gloria Miller could talk from the perspective of that group, but she couldn't be on the call either today. So since it was scheduled, I thought we'd go ahead and hold a conference call with whomever is available, and then kind of decide on what the next step should be. Hopefully, at least Kathy and Aviva will join us on this call. It is Central Time. Now, both of those women are on different time zones, so I hope it was clear that it was Central Time. I mean, Holly did follow up with another email, so. Anyway, did you all get that email?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Central Time?
Mm-hmm.
I assume they got it, too. Well, the main purpose of the call today is really just to touch base on where groups are at. I chose not to put together a full agenda. I had sort of got to thinking toward the end, I probably should have asked for a summary from groups ahead of time to know where it's at, and I might still follow up and do that. But I think that the whole idea was really to get as much progress done as we could over the summer and have a goal of sometime in early September to have the first drafts of the modules completed.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I wanted to do today was follow up with the groups and see where they were at and how that is all going. So since you guys are the only group represented on the call, why don't we start with you? Can we do that?
Are you talking about the preschool group?
Yes.
Yeah. Katie, do you want to get started, or would you like me to give an
update? Yeah, we sure can. We, or I'll speak for the PCIT part of it. We had a PCIT part that we were working on, and then John and another person had the partners and what's the other one?
Incredible Years.
Incredible Years. That kind of took some revisions and did some reworking, but for the PCIT part, at least, we have a PowerPoint that we're kind of shopping around with one another and working on coordinating edits and revisions across the three of us. So we're working on something.
The obstacle we had with Incredible Years and PCIT and partners was that in the journal article that reviewed evidence-based practices, Incredible Years, PCIT, and partners were listed as three promising practices. And as we started digging around, we realized that Incredible Years and Partners weren't so much interventions as grant names for the same thing. But because they had different grants, they had different names. So there was a little bit of a confusion there, but we went straight to the author of those articles and kind of teased some of that out. So once we straightened that out, we've developed also a PowerPoint on that sort of class of intervention with parents and teachers.
Okay.
And I think it's clear now. The question that I had for the group, and I think that we've visited this before, may need to revisit it, is that are we sticking to the evidence-based standards that were published in the article, or are we open to other evidence-based standards for promising practices?
Are you asking if we can introduce different programs or interventions in, if they also have some research to support them?
Exactly.
Kind of what you're asking? We've talked about that in terms of a general approach. And I think the consensus was that it sort of depends. I think it sort of depends. One is it is important to make sure that whatever we put out there is a practice that has research to support it and of sufficient rigor, if you will, that meets certain or particular criteria for evidence-based practice.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean, I think that, I mean, what that implies then is that it's gone through this rigorous review, and in fact, that's why we borrowed from what Cindy Carlson had done, because they did that extensive, exhaustive lit review and employed those criteria in this area.
And I would say that the standards that Cindy's group was using are probably the highest I've ever seen.
They are.
For evidence-based practice. And the question is, if we are willing to lower our standards, how low are we willing to go? Because I guess you're probably familiar with the Department of Ed site, whatworks.gov.
WhatWorks Clearinghouse, uh-huh.
And they have much lower standards.
Really? You think so?
Well, I think so. I mean, I haven't looked at them real closely, but it just didn't seem as rigorous as Cindy's. But clearly, you know, there has to be empirical evidence for the intervention to get on that site. So the question is, where do we draw that line? Because Amanda felt strongly that there were some good preschool interventions that weren't acknowledged in the journal article and that would be helpful to include. So I told her I'd come to the task force and ask.
Do you know an example of what she was thinking about?
I do. In fact, I just got a letter from her today. And when I did, I learned that a 39-cent stamp will get a letter from Puerto Rico to Texas, which I thought was kind of cool. And it was postmarked on the 21st. So
That's not bad.
Especially, you know, how university mail can sit around. So let me pull out. And it looks like what she sent me is, you know, when you go to a poster session,
uh-huh,
and someone hands out a miniature version of their poster.
Mm-hmm.
This was a mini poster of empirically supported treatments for conduct disordered children. And it broke it down by age ranges. But there were a couple that were supported for 3 to 8-year-olds.
What's an example?
Al's Pals.
I know that one. Al's Pals, yep.
And,
what else? Any others?
And Incredible Years was listed on there, which we're familiar with. There's one that was spanning 4 to 14, second step.
Yeah, uh-huh. But see, the thing on a lot of these, now Al's Pals is a little bit of an exception, but like second step has a very minor parent component.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, this is, I guess, assuming that there's a strong parent component for our purposes, but the methodology that they use.
Yeah. Is it like a CASEL, that CASEL review, CASEL?
I don't see that on here. I can tell you what it says. criteria treatment programs needed a specific focus on behavior, targeting children, school-based, have efficacy data related to externalizing behaviors be publicly available, and be present on two or more best practices lists. So it's really a lower standard. It doesn't talk about the size of the N or the effect size or...
So that last criterion be on two or more best practices lists, that could, those lists could include those more rigorous criteria.
Perhaps, or maybe not, though.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, John, I want to be both sufficiently inclusive of models and programs for, you know, strengthening homeschool partnerships, and rigorous at the same time.
Right.
Because I think, and so my answer with it depends. I think it really depends on the situation, on the model, on the program, on the purpose, and not just be something that espouses to support homeschool partnerships and have some research support without having some, you know, basic common denominator of rigor to support it. I want us to be careful not to open the doors too wide, because I think that we're going to get right back into the problem that we face in the field in general, is that there's a lot of stuff that's out there, very little that's in research phase. Now, the ones that you mentioned, I am familiar with. I would say the first place to start would be looking at whether or not they really, in the way that we're defining family-school partnerships, whether they do follow a certain kind of conceptual and philosophical stance around the bringing together of families and schools. Now, in the preschool area, you know, that could include behavior problems. It could include social skills development. So it's not so much the specific focus of what they're trying to do, but it has to have a strong family-school component.
Well, I'm on the same page. Go ahead.
Second step, I know it well. In fact, we're using it in some of our research. It's just, although there's a parent piece to it, there's a parent video-mediated training module, they really don't partner with parents. And there's very little research, if any, to support the family piece of that. Second step is evidence-based. Clearly, it's an excellent aggression, violence prevention type program that does extend into preschool. But the piece that has research support is the classroom component, not the family school component.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those kinds of things that we have to kind of look at on a case-by-case basis, I'd say.
Okay,
and I'd be happy
to
take a look at those. I have a feeling I know where some of that list came from. I've seen a lot of reports that have come out that reviewed those same programs, some of which do extend into preschool. And I just wrote a chapter, actually, and we reviewed a lot of those. And it was on family school partnerships, and that was our sort of bottom line, was that some of them are really excellent programs, but they really don't bring in this whole partnership orientation. And when they do, that's not necessarily where the research is. The research tends to be more in the classroom-based program. But I think it's a great idea to look at those kinds of things. I think you're doing the right thing and looking a little more broadly to see what other kinds of things might be out there. But then I wouldn't expect you to go in and code all of these studies the way Cindy Carlson's group did.
Oh, right.
But do think about some standards. And it's hard for me to say at what level where's that cut point, but I would say we don't want to lower the standards too much. We want to make sure that that we are promoting the kinds of practices that really have held up. And the ones that you listed are good examples of programs that have held up. Now we just need to make sure that they hold up with a preschool population around family school partnerships.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry if I went on too long in there.
No.
Can somebody join us?
Yeah, this is Kathy from Colorado.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I was just listening.
Okay. Well, we're just getting an update. We decided today not to have, you know, a real strict agenda.
Okay.
but really just to touch base and see where the groups are at, because we're now at the end of August, and we had decided to try and get as much done as we could by the end of the summer before, you know, school started and classes at universities began and that sort of thing. So we wanted to see where people are at in making progress toward these module developments. And so John was talking, and Katie Woods was talking about the preschool group.
Uh-huh.
And they're putting together PowerPoint presentations around a couple of the models that they've identified. What about other pieces? Do you guys have any other things ready to share for the preschool group, or are you focusing primarily on the PowerPoints?
Primarily on the PowerPoints at this point. And, you know, as I said, we were kind of delayed by getting encumbered with incredible years and partners and and also the challenges of working spread out far apart.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, and there are, those are big programs, actually. Yeah. PCIT and the Incredible Years, both, I mean, are pretty big. They're excellent programs. And John, if you want to share a list of things with me and just kind of bounce it back and forth to see, you know, what we think about, including additional models or programs, I'm happy to do that.
Great. We'll definitely stay in touch with you on that.
You know, that's funny because the R group, which is the parent education and parent training, we realize a lot of, you know, we've looked at the studies we had were CASDANs, and a lot of that's very similar to Incredible Years. You know, I mean, there's an overlap there with the kind of parent management training and those kinds of things. We talked about that. You know, it's so there's some overlap there, and we realize that.
Right.
So that's good to know what you all are. You're focusing on Incredible Years and parent interactive.
Parent-child interaction therapy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Kathy. That Incredible Years is exactly, I mean, it really follows a lot of the behavior management.
It does. That's kind of social learning.
Training program.
Uh-huh. And so at some point when we all get this together, that might be important to point out, too, that those kind of
overlap.
Do you
want to talk about how you are all doing and what you
Right. Well, and we've been, Glory and I are fortunate because she's at University of Denver, and that's very close to my school district, so we can actually talk in person.
Uh-huh.
I go over there, and we actually put Jenny Harvey on the phone on Tuesday, so the three of us have we're actually there and kind of, and Sue, I had a couple questions. Could I go ahead and ask those at this point? One, this issue around cultural pieces. We kind of have the sense, and I just wanted to clarify this, we will be addressing barriers in our module, but we're still fuzzy on whether the cultural piece will be addressed commonly between all of our groups or if that's something each of us individually should take on.
The question is, should you each individually take on the cultural piece or refer to some other source where they will be?
Or whether there's one person that could write. I mean, we're thinking there's a lot of commonalities between all of this around cultural issues that could be addressed, you know, uniformly throughout.
And, you know, when I got your email asking a question, I went back and I looked at some previous minutes.
And I, yeah, good.
And because I am a little fuzzy on that, too, let me tell you the dilemma that we have on this. We started with separate modules on both the barriers and the cultural considerations piece. And actually, the cultural considerations piece actually was part of the original conceptualization of this from the very beginning. And then as we kind of went further with this newer group in the last year or so, that's when we added this barriers piece. But then we stepped back and said, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense to handle just as its own separate thing. So that piece should be blended within all of them.
The barriers.
We had a similar conversation, I think, around the cultural piece, but, and let me just add another piece to this, and that is, Ina and she and now David Schreiberger is interested in that piece. We're sort of taking the lead on the cultural consideration.
That's what we thought, but we were fuzzy.
Nothing is happening.
Okay.
Nothing is really happening. I think they have a very different sense for what that would look like. My original thinking on this is that each one of these areas would have its own set of materials, its own kind of standalone, if you will, set of materials like the binders that you all have, the PowerPoints and the handouts and the CD-ROMs and that sort of thing. And some are going to be more complete and full than others, but that's okay. I don't know that that will ever happen with that piece. I'll just be really honest.
With the cultural piece.
Yeah, with the cultural piece. I mean, Ina talks about, you know, the fact that she has a chapter that she wrote, and she's interested in doing some stuff, and David is interested in more in the research, what kind of research could be done with it, not necessarily in the materials development. So I don't really think anything will happen as a standalone piece.
Okay.
I'll just be really honest.
Okay.
So that being said, I thought we talked about I can't remember what I said back in my email back to you.
I don't think you did. I think you didn't.
Did I just kind of...
Yeah. At least that was my recollection, which is why... Because we just see that's a big issue. I mean, that's almost another, big piece in itself, unless we just mention, you know, it's important to consider cultural, you know...
Did we talk about adding it?
Diversity.
I'm not seeing it in the minutes. Do you guys remember?
I was under the assumption that it was going to be infused across the modules.
The
because there might be some differences or individualities within that module.
That's kind of what we were thinking. If someone could, you know, embrace it and kind of summarize it, even I'm think we're talking kind of putting these all together conceptually a little bit, that maybe that could just be a little piece of it, you know, about when you're doing parent partnerships, important key components of cultural sensitivity or something, I don't know, something along those lines.
See, I think it might fit in one of the very first modules.
Uh-huh. Kind of these are the pieces you need to consider and be aware of. Or
I think that makes a little more sense. So the first couple of modules that we have are general information on homeschool partnerships, process variables or conditions necessary to support homeschool partnerships, and then we were going to have a third one, like cultural considerations. What if we added it to either the general information one or the process variables?
I think that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
What do the rest of you think?
I'd support that.
Okay. Katie, does that make sense to you?
Sorry, yeah, I think it would be a good spot in the general information mm-hmm. one, because I think that opens up to the rest of the modules.
You think the general information one?
Mm-hmm.
Ashley, you co-authored that one. What kind of stuff is in that one?
Within that module, we have a brief description of the importance of collaborating with families, and then describing theoretical orientations that have led to that family-school partnership orientation, and then have provided support for both families and teachers, as well as children, and evidence supporting partnership. And then we explain briefly the various other modules mm-hmm. towards the end, and then we go in and talk about briefly the four A's. So it really is a very broad description.
And in the second one, the process variables, conditions necessary to support homeschool partnerships, that's where we talk about approach, attitude, mm-hmm. atmosphere. There's probably more in there, too. I don't have them in front of me. That was bad planning. Does anybody have them in front of them?
No, I sure don't.
I don't. I'm at work and didn't bring them.
Okay. Well, here on our end, we can take a look at those first two and see where it fit most.
Okay. That'd be great. I mean, we just feel it really needs to be addressed, and it probably there's a lot of commonalities between all of the modules around the issues.
I think.
And to jump into that, it's a huge literature base also. I mean, you know, to take that on didn't seem to make a lot of sense either.
But we have some of it summarized already here. So I don't think it would be that difficult to really pull in. I can think of a couple places where we could look. I mean, one of my previous doc students is teaching a conjoint consultation course this semester now. And I was just sitting in it this morning and, you know, looking at the syllabus. There's a whole segment on that. And we have stuff written on it. So I don't think it would be very difficult to pull it together.
Okay.
On our end here.
So and we'll presume that's happening. Okay, that's good. And we are going to address barriers in ours.
You are?
Specifically. Yes. Gloria, I mean, at least that relate to parent education and parent-family intervention.
But we could also do some sort of advanced presentation of that in one of the early
modules.
So,
so you'll do a general kind of treatment of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me see if I can find people that are interested in that. Katie, would you be interested in that?
Okay.
Katie McGee is relatively new to the group
and
wants to be involved, and that would be a really good way to work on this. So that would be some general information on cultural considerations. And then what we should do, I mean, there's always a fine line then on whether or not we want to refer back or across the other modules, which I think we should, or if they truly should stand alone. But I think let's start by planning on referring to other pieces of the whole package. So like the preschool group, parent education and training group could refer to some of the general information available in these futures documents for more on cultural considerations. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that in each of the modules would be a good idea. Don, work for you?
Works for me.
Okay, good.
Okay. I had one other specific question that's suited to our specific, but you know, we're combining the parent education and parent training pieces. And one of the parent education articles is very dated. It's 1988, and the book that it was built on is 1981, and it's not in print anymore. And it's around a reading intervention for at-risk first graders. And Ginny and Gloria and I kind of made a decision, but of course, I mean, a thought, a recommendation that we not include that formally, but we can include the pieces that seem to make it effective, at least from the article and the review and their funding. But because so much has happened with literacy and so much is advanced in that area in the past 20 years, that it might not make a whole lot of sense to really focus on that in a comprehensive way like we're doing for our other articles.
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, because, you know, that's old in the fast-paced literacy world these days.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we can pull out, we thought, just some general statements from their findings and their methodology. But so,
especially if it's so hard to access.
Oh, yeah, and plus the copies we have are microfiche, and it's just
terrible.
So we decide if we can't access it, how's anybody ever going to use it anyway?
Kathy,
so
can I interrupt you for one second,
yeah,
though, because you brought up a really important point, and that is the whole area of literacy.
Uh-huh.
And all that we know now about the importance of the home environment, the early home environment, on promoting emergent literacy skills. And, John, I'm thinking of you now in terms of the preschool group. You know, like Russ Whitehurst's stuff on dialogic reading, none of that shows up in here. Are you familiar with his research?
I'm not. I'm very much interested in it, and I know that we need to address it. It's just that I didn't really ever even consider it for our module.
And that's an example of something that is clearly, I would say, evidence-based, but didn't show up in that review.
Mm-hmm.
As you were saying earlier, what kind of leeway do we have?
Yeah.
So I think we do have, I think we have a responsibility, actually, to include things like that or other things that you're finding that we know to be important and effective. But the whole area of, you know, parents promoting and supporting early literacy in their preschool children.
Right.
Our preschool people, we're actually really trying as a district, like we're having Bob McMahon, who's going to be doing the noncompliant child with our early childhood staff and primary behavior development programs around the parent management program. And they are so into this. And they're talking, I'm not familiar with that particular body of work, but there is evidence-based work out there, not only just around literacy, but around you know, all kinds of other interventions and partnering in treatments and you know, special ed kinds of students. I wasn't even aware of it. It was fascinating, this discussion. So just throwing that out, that I think it's really a maybe not well-known area, but they were certainly familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting information.
Katie Wood, can I ask you to work with me on pulling some of that stuff? I'll share what I have and show you what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can bring that to the preschool group.
Yes. Well, I missed the first part. What was the name of the program that you had said, Sue?
Dialogic reading. It's not
biologic reading.
Dialogic?
Dialogic. D-I-A-L-O-G-I-C.
Okay.
It's like a dialogue. Dialogic reading, and it's all
like logic. All right.
Russ Whitehurst, who's now the director of IES, is the main researcher who's done a tremendous amount of work in that area, and it's all based on interactive book reading between parent and child.
Mm-hmm.
How to sit down and read with your child to enhance their vocabulary, their interest in books, and their ability to tell a story about what they're hearing. So it's not so it's how to read with a child, not just reading page by page with your child.
Yeah, that sounds
to your child, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great work. It really enhances vocabulary development as well as early pre-literacy skills.
I just Googled it and found it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
Whitehurst or dialogic reading. You'll find a ton of stuff out there on that, John, once you start looking. And there's even now some of the curriculum companies have incorporated that into their curricula for early literacy. So that's really where it's at, I think, in terms of early literacy with the parent component. Of course, there's so much else with, the whole phonological awareness literature and all that, but as far as the family component, the dialogic reading is really where it's at. So Katie Woods, if I can, I'm using your last name because I'm sitting across the table from another Katie. Our program has the corner on all the Katies.
We have the Sarahs.
We have the Katies.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Katie Woods, I'm going to, why don't you and I get together and I can kind of share some things with you and then you can take it back to the preschool group and decide what you guys want to do with it.
That sounds good. So
cool.
That'll belong in our part more than in Kathy's, like you were saying.
Yes.
Yes, and then we actually, and I guess, I don't know, is Margaret with us today, Margaret? Because Gloria's also working on that group, and she said she's actually looking at a parent tutoring program. One of the articles was a parent tutoring program, and so that was another reason we thought we would focus more on the other articles.
Okay.
One more question. Can I monopolize one more minute?
Go right ahead.
And maybe this relates, John, to your question also, because we are looking at this as being helpful for pre-service as well as in-service and support for practitioners. And we were talking about expanding it, like Kasdan is the primary author on two of our articles. He's just written a book which has a really nice parent management, user-friendly, handouts and all of that. I'm thinking we're okay to expand on the particular articles to other work by these authors and more accessible resources for people that have been published in ways that they could actually utilize. Am I hearing that?
Exactly, definitely.
Okay.
The idea is you start with kind of square one is identifying the research to support the approach or the strategies, but then really turn it around into something that practitioners and students can pick up and use.
Okay.
So all those sort of things to embellish the research, basis is the practitioner-oriented stuff is really what we need to be about.
Because we, a practitioner who's out there really trying to implement parent management training needs very explicit kinds of materials and support in doing that. And there are resources out there.
Yes. Well, we probably... Now, if you want to try and reproduce something that's published, we did that in some of them, but you just have to get permission. And we have a standard letter that we could share with you.
Okay.
If you need that, Ashley Taylor, I'm having a hard time remembering this. She just got married this summer. Plus Ashley Rolk in every other meeting and conference call that we had. But she can send that to you because she drafted that and took the lead on that on our end. So Ashley, would you mind doing that? Send it to Kathy and John and Aviva and Margaret Beebe Frankenberger.
That would be great because I think we were looking at Russell Barclays who's done his ADHD, but he's even say there that you can use his materials, of course, for individual situations. But I think he'd be open to this kind of work.
This is all it's non-profit. I mean it's.
Right.
It's all for dissemination and use. And that kind of stuff, the strategies are empirically based.
Right.
The tools is what we're trying to get out there. And if a practitioner wants to really learn how to do this, they're not going to go to the journal article.
No, they can't. They have to, and probably need supervision. Yeah. We're kind of crafting a little bit of that too, kind of maybe some best practices, you know,
good.
How you go about this.
Great.
If you want to expand your practice or to look into this. But what you're saying is that if the strategies and the core, which parent management is, are based on empirical evidence
yes.
of effectiveness, that's great. Okay.
How to translate that into practice.
One other quick question, and this is just a universal language question. Are we really saying it's family-school partnerships or parent-school partnerships, or does that matter?
Well, we went around and around that a little bit ourselves. It was a task force. The futures work was family-school partnerships.
That's what we thought. But then we thought we're focusing so much on parent interventions. So we should call it parent and family?
That's a good idea. I didn't hear that.
So you're saying family interventions, it sounds like?
Well, the reason this came up in our group, because ours is kind of where the two come together, and the parent education is more like usually, you know, teaching parenting skills,
right.
prevention kinds of pieces versus the more family therapy kinds of pieces or...
Okay.
Which is way on the other end of the continuum, which we actually don't do in schools, but yet it's part of kind of that family intervention for high-risk families, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of talking about this, and we really felt ours was really parent education and parent intervention
okay.
Versus family, because you're really trying to work with the parents. But
okay.
anyway, we struggled
fine,
with it.
Fine, Kathy.
What?
I mean, I think you're right. You're not going to be doing something on family therapy.
Right. Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah, we can craft it however makes most sense on the individual basis. So how are you guys doing then in terms of putting materials together?
Well, we have an outline. I think that's a good thing. And we're clear. I think we are all working on PowerPoints. Gloria's doing parent intervention. I'm working on parent education. We kind of real clear to have good definitions of those two. So people kind of understand the frame. Then we're also kind of, again, pulling together things, key factors for how you effectively implement this.
Okay.
You know, what are the evidence-based pieces that result in parent engagement in this kind of programs and processing? And also, there again, we were going to include some maybe best practices in looking at more published materials and published programs, looking for their evidence base and their focus. And then probably some various resources and, you know, that practitioners can access to research it on their own.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Those kinds of resource lists are, and they can evolve, I mean, so.
Right.
Would it be possible to send me a copy of your outline?
We just finished it, so I will,
okay.
I have my little questions written all over it, so I can send that to you.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Well, I don't know what happened to Aviva. I thought this was going to be a time that worked for her, so I'll follow up with her. And Margaret couldn't make it
okay.
on this call today, so I will follow up with her. We do have that submission into NASS. I don't know when we're going to hear on that.
I was wondering the same thing.
You know, what is this, almost September? We hear pretty early.
I would say October is when we usually hear.
Okay. So that would be, hopefully, hope that this is accepted, because that would be a really good
mm-hmm.
thing for us to shoot for.
Are we revising the 1st of September deadline?
Well.
I hope, a little bit anyway.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to. We really just wanted to push people.
Uh-huh.
In a realistic sense, anyway, to keep thinking about it and moving forward and trying to get some action going. And it sounds like both of your groups have done that, so
mm-hmm.
that's excellent. I don't want to say a whole lot more without having other groups on board, because I don't know what they've done. And so if they're making progress and want to start sharing some materials, I want to encourage that, too. What would be a reasonable timeline for actually starting to exchange some of these PowerPoints?
I don't know. I know that we're all pursuing different kind of components of ours, and we're going to talk again mid-September. So I don't know, mid-October or 1st of October?
Do you want to work with your group and put some timelines on that outline maybe? Or?
Yeah, we could do that. What we've done is kind of set another time for a conference call. That was very productive to have a conference call.
Okay. When
mid-September. September 18th.
Okay. So, I mean, you can let me know
how
that's going and what kind of progress you're making. I would like to try and have the materials shared and exchanged maybe in early October.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, at least what we have so far.
Yeah,
that might be helpful.
That's the kind of thing. I mean, it's not going to be a final product, and you just kind of have to start doing it, you know, and getting it out there for people to respond to at some point. How about the preschool group?
Well, Katie and I have each developed a PowerPoint. You've got the PCIT. I've got sort of the Incredible Years PowerPoint. So we could potentially share what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more coming soon. I have a couple students working on one, and then now that we've opened up things like, you know, dialogic reading, we can do a lot more. And I feel like, you know, there's some momentum that's built up. So by early October, we could certainly have some drafts out.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, early October, like John had said as well, we're in a part where we just kind of combine. So between the three of us that were working on the one module, we're kind of sharing those. And then I think we'd like to share it with the rest of the preschool group before being able to send out. But that should be able to go by October.
Sure. And Amanda's working on some of the case studies that will be plugged into these PowerPoints.
Excellent.
So, yeah, we're on track.
Oh, excellent. Good. Well, keep up the great work. And if you want to start putting it all, you know, together, and if we could shoot for like an early October exchange date.
Okay.
At
least with what we have so far.
Sure.
Yeah, it does not have to be a final product by any means.
I don't think ours will be, but I think if we could have for us to have the major PowerPoints for each section done would be great, because we're each doing a PowerPoint.
Katie, could you, and I can work with you on this, but work on the cultural piece and the barriers maybe?
Yep.
And Ashley, I don't know what kind of role you want to have in all this.
I can
work with Katie.
Okay.
You know, I was going to point, Gloria Miller really has done a lot of her early training within this area. It's been very fun working with her. And she really broke it down into practical barriers and motivational barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a helpful way of thinking, and that the literature would kind of fall into those. And both of those would be very helpful. You know, things like daycare to, you know, the school engagement and the, all those pieces would be really, I think, important to touch on.
Yeah, I want to follow up with her. I know she's been really involved, too.
Uh-huh.
I want to make sure that we definitely, as a group, get her input as we're moving forward. I mean, this has been such a fun and exciting thing, just getting to know all of you and hear your perspective. That's why I like to do this kind of work, is because you learn so much from each other and getting out of our own kind of way of thinking all the time. So I want to make sure everybody's great ideas are incorporated as much as possible, too. Anything else that you can think of?
Let me check my question list here. Oh, one other, and this maybe is a technical question. Gloria, the topic was given to us as parent training, and she would like to change that to parent intervention. Is there any problem with that? Just and even though the, you know, the School Site Quarterly called it training, she feels it's really more intervention, and training is more not as empowering a word as intervention.
Right.
In other words, you're not... It's not like chimpanzees that you're training, you know, that it's more of an intervention for how parents parent. So she asked me if I would bring that up, if there was a problem with that.
Well, it had parent training and family intervention, so the whole thing would just become parent intervention.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that's fine. How does everybody else feel about that?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
That will make her happy.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Well, let me follow up with the other groups and see where they're at.
Okay.
And I will... I apologize if I've been a little bit out of the loop. It's been a pretty crazy couple of months. Just, you know, people on very different schedules and doing very different things. But we'll get back on. I think we're on a very good track now. You guys have really made some great progress this summer, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you for all of your hard work. If you need if you need anything to, you know, for materials or, you know, we're going to be doing things like exchanging PowerPoints, but at some point we're going to be putting things on CDs and making copies and all that kind of thing. We have a little bit of an operating budget.
Okay.
And what you would have to do would be to at least email me to get started, maybe with a little bit of an invoice or something like that about what kind of needs you're facing. And I'll work with my budget person to figure out the best way to disseminate some funds back to you, okay?
Okay, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, nobody's going to get rich on this here, but it's a little bit that we have that we were given by the round table, and I think that this is exactly what it's for, is all this development work that you're all doing. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Sue.
That's great. Thanks.
Okay, so just keep me posted on that. And like I said, it might turn out that, you know, we have to go through a couple of hoops or whatever just because that's how it is. But we'll figure out those details once we, and it's a good problem to have, you know. So we'll figure out the details as we get moving. All righty?
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, everybody have a great afternoon.
Okay.
Thanks for taking time to do this, and I'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks, Sue.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
right,
everyone.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.